schools within. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. It reads, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6, on account of this, the wrath of God is coming. Verse 7, in this, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self, which with its practices. Verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Amen.
Thank you, Darren. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with everybody here. I want to start by saying how much we appreciate what a great job our young people did yesterday. They did tremendous. Darren and Caleb led an excellent devotional. It was excellent. 45 minutes they filled with Bible passages and first-class songs, and they just really did themselves proud, their parents proud, the congregation proud, and more importantly, glorified God. And all our young girls, all of them, went into the kitchen and served 100 people. They served 100 people. Each and every one of them, they just rose above and did exactly what you'd expect. And it was just great education to see these young people in action for those of our leaders that were here, or brothers that was here as well. I know Bradley and Doughton and Femi and many others were here. There was a lot going on. But we just praise God and thank God, because, you know, all of these things are about the ministry and about spreading the gospel and about growing and maturing. So I want to talk for a short time this morning about just this type of thing, because I want us all to remember something. We represent God everywhere we go. We represent God in our houses, we represent God in our communities, we represent God in our workplaces, we represent God in this place. When we're sitting here today, that's who we represent. And people, when they see us, should see who we are and what we stand for. And if we don't stand for God, then people will see that. If we stand outside of where God expects us to be, the world will see that, the church will see that, we will all see that. And so we have to make an impact on the world that we live in. We have to be people who the world can see are different. The apostles had an interesting view on this. If you look in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, and we will get back to our passage that Brother Darren read this morning. But when we're looking here in 2 Corinthians 5, if we go back in verse 19, "Therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all the things have become new." In other words, the people that we were, we're no longer the same. We stand for Christ, because that is who we are. That's why we're called Christians. We stand for Christ. And it's almost as if God is calling upon his people, the importance, this this pleading to us, this imploring us, this calling upon the people to live lives that show who we are and who we stand for. Many times in our lives, of course, we face those temptations, those times of bitterness, and those times of anger, and those times of frustration, and those times when our guard gets let down, and we mess up, and we make mistakes. But we have to understand that we represent the body of Christ, and therefore that is who we are. That is the life that we live. A faithful representative, if you want to use that word of God, in a positive life, if you look in Proverbs 13:17, talks about a wicked messenger falls into trouble and a faithful ambassador brings faith. This aspect of the way that we live our lives, how wickedness will cause us to fall. And it causes us to fall into trouble. And our faithfulness is lost. And the world sees that. The world sees that. And it affects everybody around us. It affects each other. It affects the way that we live as Christians. And affects the families and the communities and everybody around us. In verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. Now, I want you to understand that ambassador is representative. We have in the UK ambassadors for our country. So from other countries around the globe, they will have places in the United Kingdom where the ambassador resides and he stands for the people of that nation. And that is how it works. The United Kingdom will be in other countries and we'll have embassies and we'll have ambassadors. And these people represent their nation. They represent who they come from. So we, as Christians, are ambassadors to Christ. That is who we belong to. And so the world needs to see him in us because we represent him. But he says a wicked messenger. That is one who falls into trouble. That is the one who the world will not see the true representation of who we are and who we or where we come from. But if we're faithful, if we're a faithful ambassador and a faithful representative, then we can only bring good because the world will see us for who we are and what we stand for. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and in this passage again, we'll see an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read it again in verse 20. We read as follows. It talks about how, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glory God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You were bought at a price. We are representatives of one who paid a price for us. Jesus gave himself for us on the cross. He paid the debt that we couldn't pay. He paid the sin that we had committed. He bore through his own blood on a cross and purchased us at a price that cost him. It doesn't cost us anything. And he says, therefore, glorify God in your body. Let God receive glorification in the way that we live. And the way that we stand for him in the world that we live. It says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Which are whose, which are God's. They belong to him. Our bodies, our soul, our spirit, everything about us belongs to God. That means my mind has to start being God's mind. When I'm thinking about, you know, God in my life and prioritizing him. Yeah, every day I always start my day in private prayer. And on a Lord's Day, or certainly when I'm preaching, I will spend some time in prayer praying about what I'm about to teach. And sometimes, listen, I get here and my lesson changes. The point is this. It's about having a mindset that's focused on God. That the things that we say, the things that we speak about are done in a way that is acceptable to God because we are His. Our words, our deeds need to glorify God. If your words and your deeds do not glorify God, there's a problem, both physical and spiritual. Psalm 50 of verse 23 says, whoever offers praise, that's Psalm 50 verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. And this is talking about our conduct. This is talking about the order of our conduct and the order of the way that we live. It has to be aright, it has to be correct. Self-control, non-conforming, being transforming, controlling our lives, controlling the way that we are and the way we treat each other and the way we speak to each other and the way that we affect each other's lives. If we are true representatives of God, then we have to reflect that in the people that we are, because we belong to Him. You see, you can go to the city centre in Leicester and you go near the clock tower. I like to stand near the clock tower and hand leaflets out or just speak to people. And you look around and you can look across and you can say, well, that's the Hindu group. You can see the Hindu group. And you look across to another section, you can see there that Hare Krishna group, the beating the drums and chanting. And you look across and there's the Baptists and there's the Islamic groups and all these different people representing what they believe is true. Now we know that we study the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God speaks for itself. And so we represent this, the teaching of God. And so our praise needs to glorify Him. Our conduct needs to glorify Him. We need to show the salvation of God through the lives that we are living so people see that there is something different. And so we have to be non-conforming, but be transforming. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, he says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Why? Because we, brethren, are Christians. We speak of God. This is a good prayer. Lord, every time my lips move, let your voice come out. Let your voice be spoken every time I speak. That is the things that I say, the things that I do. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And it finishes with an amen in the passage. The things that we speak, let them be the oracles of God. The voices that we have. Listen, if our voices speak things that are of the devil, then they're not the oracles of God. Blasphemy, anger, bitterness, abuse, insult. Anything that is not the oracles of God does not represent Him and does not represent who we are. Let Him do it as with the ability which God supplies. God supplies how? Through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. Then all the things, through all the things, and that in all the things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. He's the one that deserves the glory, and that glory comes only when we conduct our lives the way that He wants us to live. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 10:14, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How can people believe in God if Christians are behaving like the world? We go out of here and live like the world. What do you think the world sees the world? They don't see the Church of Christ if we're not living the way that we are called to live. We have to be ambassadors for God. We have to shine Jesus Christ in our lives. We have to let the world see, our community see, our neighbours see, and each other see that we belong to Him. How will the world believe in God if we conduct our lives in a worldly manner? How can we exercise this responsibility forever? We need to be preaching the gospel all the time. How often do you preach the gospel? I'm not talking about standing there preaching a sermon. Even this morning with our brother on the communion, we hear the call for baptism. How many people do you call to baptism? How many people do you reach out to on the buses and in the stores and in the shops and in the places that we have a treasure, a gift that will change the lives of the world? And we need to be people who, as ambassadors, share that message with everyone we meet. We don't have to have a three-point PowerPoint or a sermon. We just have a story to tell. Jesus changed my life. Why do you behave like you do? Why do you put up with all these problems and you don't act like the world? Why is it that you drive your car and you won't go over the speed limits and you're stopping it in plenty of time? Why do you live the way that you live? You don't cut corners and you don't try and evade paying taxes and all of these things. It's because of who we represent, and the world should see that in us, because He is in our life. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. The world needs to see your light. You need to stand out in the crowd. When you're walking through the shopping centre, I walked through the shopping centre with one of our sisters in this congregation. Everybody knows that sister. And everybody knows that sister's a Christian, because she tells them. She shares the gospel. And we need to be people like that, that the world sees the light that shines. This light shines before who? Before men. The world needs to see it, not shining for you and me. We don't listen, don't just come in here and shine, just switch your lights on in here. This is the recharging. We go out there, the world has to see the light of Christ in your life. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not glorify you, not glorify me. When we're serving our communities and when we're serving the world, and when we're allowing people to see that we represent the world's Saviour, and that we have a message of salvation to share. And before you even open the mouth, they will see that you are different. And that you have a message to share. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We don't belong to ourselves, we belong to God. We are chosen through our acceptance of His word. We don't need a priest to go into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. We become priests as Christians. You're a priest, a royal priest of a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. When you have found salvation, you will understand what it means to be saved. And you will understand what it meant to be lost. And so this transformation into this new walk that we are in is a transformation that the world should see. That you possess a mighty God, a loving Saviour, and you are shining to the world this amazing message of salvation, where the world can see that the darkness that they are living in, they have an opportunity to come out and join you as you live your life in His marvelous light. In our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our neighbours. Everybody around us should see that you are special because of the way that you conduct your life. Christians belong to a unique group of people, because we are people who are the possessions of God. You see, there's not many people who will give themselves to God and say, I'm all yours. How many days do you wake up and say, God, I'm yours. I'm looking for a job, but I'm yours. I'm looking for a house to live, but I'm yours. I'm looking for a direction, but whatever it is, I'm yours. Whatever direction you take me, whatever house I live in, whatever work I have to do, I am yours. Why? Because I am a special person. You are in the possession of me. And Christians are different from their former selves because of that. Now, our dear brother Darren has always read excellent passage from Colossians 3, 1 through 10. This is the transformation, brethren. This is what should wake us up. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Why? Because we've been raised with him in baptism. When we go down into the water and we're brought up into newness of life, we receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are added into his body and we are in his kingdom. And so now we seek the things which are above, because above is where our ruler is. I'm no longer seeking the physical things. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Notice that you set a post and you put it in the ground and you cement that post in. It's in. It's not going to move. It's not going to come out. Grounded. Set your mind. This is the biggest problem we have, brethren. This is the one. It's the mind. Oh, it messes everything up. This is where it all goes wrong. The mind. That is why he says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. If you base your life on the physical things, you're going to fall. If you base your life on your career, you're going to fall. If you base your life on all those physical things, listen, you will fall. You will not stand. All these things will destroy you spiritually. They will destroy you physically in most cases. And they will certainly destroy your eternal salvation. Because he says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. If you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that, brethren, should be our incentive. You see, I want to be in glory with my God. When I leave this earth, I want to be in heaven. And I know it's a tough journey to get there, but we have to fight like mad. We have to stand firm. We have to not allow the world to pull us down and draw us away and pull us away from our salvation. There isn't a job, there isn't a bank account, there isn't a single thing on this planet that will save you and give you eternal life. And therefore, we have to set our mind on him. This is a daily thing. Wake up daily. Call on God. Seek his guidance. We've been studying the kings over the last few weeks and looking at how King Saul, and all the time he made errors in his life, it was because he was seeking physically. He was seeking his own ideas, his own thoughts, his own mind. God says, seek me. Go through my prophet, speak and liaison with me and let me guide your life, but he wouldn't do it. And so in the new covenant, we are called upon to seek God. He wants to be the one that will direct your life. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, and so the list goes on. All these things are things that do not represent Jesus Christ. And I have to bring this to my attention every day. These things are no good. These things will not save us. These things will cost our eternal life. And he says, put off all these things. Put off the old man with his deed. And put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image. I love that. And I put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image, the representation. You hold the name Christian, you bear the name Christ. We should reflect him in our life because we put him on. And so therefore, this renewed knowledge, this transformation in our mind is the thing that will bring us there. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. But Christ is all, and he is in all. Brethren, we are different from the world. We represent Jesus Christ in the world that we live. Our life is not defined by the flesh, but our life is defined by the Holy Word and how we allow this to penetrate our lives and force us to want to change and be better people. Our life is characterized by who we are and who is our leader and guide in our lives. And I want to encourage you, brethren, this journey is not easy, and we're going to struggle. We always struggle. It's part of it. But Matthew 7 talks about entering by the narrow gate. God, in his wisdom, knew that the path for his people that leads to the eternal promise is not going to be easy. I'm yet to read an account in the Bible of any follower of God, going back in the Old Testament all the way through. I've yet to find anyone who had an easy journey in the path to obedience to God. And so I want to encourage you, stand firm, be strong, cement your post into the ground. Brother Gary many years ago did an excellent series here in this congregation about deeper roots, and that stuck with me. That was something that really had an impact on my life. Deeper roots. Our roots need to be grounded deep so that we can withstand everything that this world throws at us. Because brethren, one day we will go to our eternal Father in heaven. Let's have an invitation.